Heather.
Good afternoon. Today is Monday, January the 5th, fifth day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon, San Diego Charger fan, Andy Mills.
That really hurts. Yeah. I thought this was going to be a happy new year.
Well, you know, you could be a Detroit Lion fan, and the game would just be a little bit more current.
Yeah, I am a Detroit Lion fan. That hurt also.
Good. So is there any good news from this weekend?
Well, I'm not going to root for anybody because they're doomed to lose.
Yeah, screw up the bookies in Vegas. Yeah. Oh, new year, same old challenges. We'll talk about them when we come back.
The flame of learning is lit daily at St. Bernard's.
St. Bernard's has openings for new children in our preschool and pre-kindergarten classes. Hi, I'm David Sharp, president of St. Bernard's Catholic School. St. Bernard's Early Childhood Education Center, license number 12540-2277, offers preschool and pre-kindergarten. We're open year-round from 7:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. Call us at 443-7705 to schedule a visit.
St. Bernard's High School and Elementary School, making a difference in lives for today and tomorrow.
Good afternoon, KINS News and Information Times 313. We're back to talk shop this afternoon with Eureka Police Chief Andy Mills. But before we do, our quote this afternoon, Terence. Terence didn't have a last name. He must be one of those philosophers from Greece. Quote, fortune favors the brave.
How about that?
Kind of interesting.
Why am I poor?
Oh, so many things leap to mind.
Yes.
Just let it slide, let it slide. So, you got your first calendar year under your belt. What you expected? What you thought? Was it a nightmare?
Is my hair grayer?
Yeah, you touch? Go straight to the hair reference. Thanks, yeah.
You know, it wasn't what I thought at all. You know, of course, the year started out with the unfortunate death or murder of Father Fried, and we had a lot of other critical incidents after that, but you know, we did some big things over the year that I think maybe some of which are unseen, but yet are having an impact. We were able to settle some claims against the city, from the police office.
EPD versus the city?
Yeah. Well, actually, one was EPOA versus the city.
Okay.
They had a claim for FSLA violations, Fair Labor Standard Act. They were working. They were being directed to work 42 hours a week and being paid for 40. And this had been going on for decades. And of course, one of the officers asked me, we had having the guys over for dinner, and there's
what happens?
Hey, Chief, think we could fix this? And I said, what are you talking about? And so we got to the bottom of it. Long story short, to find out that they actually filed a claim against the city. So we were able to settle that for pennies on the dollar, which I was really happy and proud of that we were able
to.
So
more of just a cleanup.
Oh, it's to clean up, and not only that, but we want to treat our employees correctly. You don't tell people to work 42 hours and pay them 40. We were also able to take care of some internal personnel. Brian goes, we can't?
Yeah. That one made the note sheet.
Yeah, I see all of his employees now here at the window looking in.
Yeah.
We were able to take care of some other things and correct some things I think need to be corrected and moving in the right direction.
Isn't it interesting historical creep? Yeah. You say that and who knows when it started, and I'm sure it wasn't because of being nasty or anything
No.
It just kind of evolved and happened, and then it becomes part of the culture, and then somebody says, Emperor's new clothes.
Yeah, well, I fully expect that, you know, after someday when I leave here as the chief, somebody else is going to come in and say, you know, what the heck was Mills thinking? And it's just a fresh set of eyes. So I think that change is healthy, where somebody else can come in with a very different perspective and a very different view of what's taking place and maybe make some additions and corrections to what I had going to make it even better. And that's the whole, you know, idea of progress.
14, at least from my perspective, was ugly. It was nasty. It was ugly. It was a lot of murder, mayhem, and that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Looking at the trends, was it? Or did we just seem to be talking about it a whole lot more?
It was bad. I don't know how to, you know, believe me, if I could find a way to make this not look bad, I would, because I believe in looking at things as positive as you possibly can. But five murders in a city this size is a lot. And when you put that on top of a countywide number that's 16, 17 murders, that's for a, you know, what if you had a city of 100,000 and you had, you know, 15 murders? Well, you'd have one of the highest murder rates in the nation. And so we really have to take a look at that and what's happening. But one of the things that I've done is I've looked at each murder, I've talked with our investigators, I've talked with our captains, our sergeants, our officers, our detectives, and we are pretty convinced that most of the violence that we're having is connected to criminal activity. You know, so if you are a guy who is involved in crime, it's not shocking that you have a greater chance of being injured. And it's just like if you drive drunk, you have a greater chance of getting in a crash. You know, that's just common sense. There was a study done by Yale where they looked at the murder victims and suspects. Within 1 or 2 degrees of separation, they were always connected socially, and 84% of the time. So, you know, you and I are not at risk, you know, compared to most
people.
Yeah,
it's the random thing.
It's the random thing, like Father Fried, and that's just horrific.
Yeah, you get one or two of those, that's enough to put everybody on edge for a long, long time.
Yeah, well, absolutely, and rightfully so.
In addition to some of the homicides, though, there were a lot of stabbings, a lot of car crashes, a lot of major things that, you know, four people sent to the hospital. Nobody died. Four people sent to the hospital. I mean, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
It seemed, and I don't know if it's, I don't know why, but it seems like you listen to the local news, and boy, this sounds like big city news. 2-3 stabbings a week, 4-5 break-ins, a couple big drug arrests, throwing a murder every once in a while, or a trial going about a murder, and it's just kind of like normal here.
Yeah, you know, there's... it was an interesting article my executive assistant, you know, brought me today, Mary Kirby, just a wonderful lady, and it was about the trauma that people experience in this community, and the trauma from seeing other pieces of trauma that affects you. And so the average child might see 60 incidents of trauma over their lifespan till they become an adult. Here in Humboldt, it's, you know, 20-30% higher than that. And I think that there's a lot to that. I think you become conditioned to it, and that's not something we should become conditioned to.
It kind of a cumulative impact.
Cumulative effect. And but the other thing I think is important on that, Brian, and you brought it up, was we do get this regurgitated a lot. You know, pieces of media picks it up, social media picks it up, everybody talks about it, it becomes this huge deal. So, we're working on it.
Share the information, dude.
Yeah.
KINS, News and Information Times 319.
Attention 6th and 7th grade students. Plan now to attend the Ideas at Work Middle School Career Camp at College of the Redwoods this June. Campers take part in fun, hands-on projects in high-tech labs, tour businesses, and explore careers. There is no cost for this camp, but space is limited. Learn more and apply online at decadeofdifference.org or call 445-7563. Don't wait. Sign up today at decadeofdifference.org and be part of it.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 324. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Andy Mills. Andy, one of the things I think that's a little more disturbing than normal, the drug overlay is a big deal, the homeless is a big deal, kids,
yeah,
big deal. With all of the seriousness that we hear about, is there a parallel universe in the juvenile or the under 16 that we don't hear about because they are underage? Is that same level of activity, same degree of seriousness also going on with kids?
Yes, but not maybe at the volume that we're seeing with adults. And there is some very serious stuff going on with children. And, you know, we work hard with Bill Damiamo over at probation as well as the schools. Fred Van Vleck and I meet regularly to make sure that we're on the same track and working with kids. I've got an officer full-time in the schools to try to intervene and intercede on certain things at the schools. But let me give you a couple examples. We arrested one child 3 different times for burglary, and I talked to him personally. I mean, I sat down with him out at the skate park and said, you know, we care about you. Tell us what we can do to help. And he looked at me and said, you know, essentially, I won't do all the expletive deletive since you're a FCC-controlled organization here, but it was, you can't do anything to me until I'm 18.
Now, is that an accurate statement?
By and large. I mean, you know, there's not a great deal that can be done. Probation will do what they can do, and most kids, though, are not that hard. I mean, most kids, you catch them, they're doing something wrong, you can divert them away from the criminal justice system, and I think that's the appropriate thing to do with children on their first or second offense, because we don't want them in the criminal justice system. But for these little ones, he was 13, had done 4 burglaries that we know of, and was just hard as a rock, and using meth, smoking dope at that age. And that is a guy that we're going to be chasing for years.
So what are the options? What does law enforcement have in that kind of a scenario? I mean, if you detox them, it's probably not going to change if there's a mental attitude that's there.
Well, and as you just stated it, there's so many, it's so complex. There's mental health issues, there's parental and family issues, there's educational issues where they're not able to keep up the educational pace, and so therefore kind of fall out of the whole system. And then there's the criminal justice issues. I'm trying very hard, even though I care deeply, and I've done this in the past as well, to try to separate ourselves, that we are not the solution. The police are not the solution. We are part of the system that maybe can provide some solutions to
this.
Or
some options, at least.
Some options, at least. I did a project one time about getting kids who are the most truant back into the school. And so I sent officers to the home at 6 o'clock in the morning, knocked on the door, time to get up, Billy Joe, and time for you to go to school, and put them in the patrol car and take them to school. The interesting thing was attendance went up 60-some% amongst those kids. Several of them got locked up permanently. They just couldn't go with the program at all, one for murder and one for assault. But here's what the officers found. They wound up getting these kids breakfast on the way to school out of their own pockets. They wound up putting them on an airplane to go stay with grandpa and grandma because mom's a prostitute and dad's a parolee, and they hadn't seen either parent in months. Who's helping with their homework?
You find out a whole bunch of the
other you start
stuff.
Digging into this, and it's truly sad. And that's why it's so important to have the whole systematic approach, all of us working together as opposed to just the police or just Health and Human Services.
So since the city of Eureka doesn't have that, is the county, are they willing to step up and do that kind of an assistance?
Well, I think it's yes. I do believe that. I think Health and Human Services is doing a decent job with working with, you know, children and analyzing those needs, as well as probation, as well as the schools. And I do think that there's a lot of people here, adults who are in the profession of education and health and psych services and so forth, who are doing everything they can possibly do.
Is the culture here one that will support that, though? Or is it the drug culture that most of us see, is that supporting what currently exists?
That's a good question. I'm not really sure how that plays out in the long run. But I think that even people who maybe are on the fringe of acceptable norms of society still want what's best for children and still want to see people be healthy and prosper. And
the program that the city has got that ships, transfers, whatever, some of the homeless back to their family.
The TAP program.
Is there a parallel for that for the kids, to send them to grandma or grandpa if they're out of the area, to break that cultural element?
No, not that I'm aware of. I think that if a parent gives up rights to a child, maybe something can be done. But man, the one thing I think that our country stands on is this child is my child.
Right, but if it was grandma or grandpa kind of thing.
Yeah, the one case that I was aware of, we put some kids on a plane to go visit grandpa and grandma for several months because, again, parents weren't there. Airlines stepped up. The kids wanted to go. Grandparents wanted them. Mom had and dad had no clue. And
so a really exceptional.
Yeah, it was an exceptional deal.
That's too bad that couldn't be just replicated. I mean, because if you're running into a fair amount of these attitudes, these young attitudes, you know, either somebody's going to get hurt or somebody's going to get hurt.
Yeah. Well, yeah, but the problem is sometimes grandparents really aren't in a good position physically, mentally, energy-wise to do anything, financially as well.
KINS, News and Information Times, 3:30. We'll be back with more from Andy Mills.
Remember the music from your trip to Latin America? You are invited to listen to the newest member of our radio family, 1790 AM, a Spanish language music station with sports from ESPN and news from CNN Español. If you own a business, invite Juan listeners into your business. For information, call 442-5744 or go to juan790.com. 1790, tocando lo que le gusta.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 3:35. We're back to talk shop this afternoon with Eureka Police Chief Andy Mills. Andy, what does 2015 look like? Do you see any significant change in the last little bit that makes the coming year more attractive to you? I know you got some of the policies in place, and the codes in place that you were hoping for. How do those play out this year?
Well, we'll begin the process of really trying to fix the social disorder side, collecting shopping carts. We have still one piece of legislation yet to come. It's the straighten out the bike ordinance, and I know that that's pretty controversial, but I want to stop the disorder of when you drive into town, it looks like a beehive of people going every which direction rather than some type of order. And then also, I think with city council debating and earnestly discussing what do we do for housing, I honestly believe that all this together can work so that we can do increased levels of cleaning enforcement with that. But one of the things I do want to mention, over the last year, we have taken down over 60 campsites, an enormous cost to the city, where we're cleaning these things up, and we're talking metric tons of trash that goes with it. In addition to that, we've arrested, I looked at the data this morning, I think it was over 5,000 people for a variety of crimes. Many of those are social disorder kind of things. So just one officer alone arrested over 350 people last year. And then Drake Goodall, our downtown officer, issued citations and arrested another 300 and some. So they're working as hard as they possibly can. My job is to find them the time and space to be able to go out and do more, and then systematically clean this stuff up and bring order out there, especially to the south part of town.
Now, is this 5,000 individuals?
Individuals.
Or 5,000 individual actions?
No, these are 5,000 individuals.
Okay, so either you guys arrested 4% of the county population, or there's a hamster wheel going on somewhere.
Well, no, there's a hamster wheel. There are several of those folks who are arrested multiple times. Especially the lower end disorder stuff, you have a pretty small number of people who are creating the most amount of havoc, and we're trying to focus on those.
Are these like the drunken public kind of things?
Well, some of those are, but some of these are very serious crimes. But the more frequent ones, the more frequent flyers are the lower end side of the spectrum. Because if we catch you doing something fairly heinous, you're going to stay in jail a little while anyway. So some people we've arrested 10, 15 times in 1 year. And sometimes they don't get anything. Sometimes they just it gets dealt with by the courts and not much happens. But the officers are doing their job, and that's what I can ask of them.
The realignment that the state did.
Yeah.
And 47. And
Prop 47, right.
And. Has that made it more frustrating? Does that open up windows of opportunity that maybe 2015 will allow that 2014 didn't because another year's experience is underway? I can't imagine anybody wants it to continue as it is.
No, we need to get better at how we're handling it as a government and as a society. Prop 47, there's a lot of hysteria over it. People are saying it's forcing our crime through the roof. It's too early to tell. I mean, it only passed in November 4. November 5, it took action, and we really didn't start letting people out of jail until the end of November. So that's too early. It's too early to tell what kind of effect that's truly going to have. I do believe, however, that AB 109, the prison realignment, has had a deterrent effect on the growth of our communities. And there are people out there who get it, that it's much harder to put them in prison and keep them there. So, but more importantly, I think what has happened is when you are released from prison on parole, you're subject to search and seizure 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, with or without cause. So if I know you're on parole, I can just walk up to you and say, Brian, I'm going to search you. And we can go ahead and search, look for dope, look for stolen property, look for weapons, and so forth. When they get released now from supervised release, a lot of times that fourth waiver, that Fourth Amendment waiver, goes away. So we can no longer search them. So if you're out of prison for 6 months and you're on probation and the probation has no reason to keep you, they have to let you off. And now we're stuck. We can no longer search in that way. We can still find our own cause and so forth. It just becomes much more difficult and greater volumes.
You guys got somebody who was one of the nasties, was it Friday, Saturday?
Yeah.
Still looking for the
other guy,
the male component to the couple?
Yeah, he's run a couple times, but we'll get him.
So he's in the neighborhood?
Oh, he's here, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, in fact, the guys were telling me this morning, I got into the office pretty early, and the graveyard guys were telling me that they thought they had him at a location. There's a truck waiting for him with the door open, the truck's running, and all of a sudden he goes bolting out of the house, jumps in the truck, and is gone before we could get people in place. So he knows he's wanted. Anybody that's out there that may be abetting him, I will do everything we can to put them in jail, too.
What does a regular guy do in that situation? I mean, he could be, we could have a fourth body in the room here. If he said his name, I wouldn't even know. But if you get kind of caught in one of those situations, get out of the way. Is that kind of basic?
Yeah, don't put yourself at risk. If you want to stiffen a call, or, you know, I was asked this morning by the media, you know, with this top 10 thing, how are we getting tips? Some people just call us directly and saying, I know Andy Mills and he hangs at this location and we'll go check. Or I just saw him and he's at, you know, 101 at the 101 in Wabash. We'll go over and check, and sure enough, he'll be standing there and we'll grab him. Others are just giving us a tip through social media saying, hey, I see this guy every day at the Stop and Rob about, you know, at about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, patrol officer will swing by and grab them. So the community has done wonderfully on this thing, and we're really appreciative of all the help we've gotten from them.
It's interesting when you hear about some of the descriptions. Some of these guys are really bad, just bad.
Yeah.
You know, whatever happened to the guy that was selling the marijuana? He was on the top 10. He was one of the bad guys.
Yeah.
It seems like everything has just been amped up to such a serious level.
I think it depends what you put the emphasis on, and you know, we should have our end of year crime stats hopefully by the end of the month, because I want to make sure that we get all the reports turned in, and because sometimes it'll take some of the guys a little while to write that stuff and to get it counted accurately, so we'll wait a little bit, but we'll take a look at the end of the year statistics and figure out what it truly looks like. I don't think we'll be up that substantially. Now, this last
total load,
This last quarter was pretty bad. The quarter before that, violent crime was down 57%. This quarter, I think we'll probably be up the opposite direction. So we'll just call it even.
Well, and it's tough for us because we'll hear Fortuna. Well, there's one.
Yeah.
Or we'll hear McKinleyville. Oh, there's, you know, guys that are outside of any, the jurisdictions change. But it's still being put on the pile, all of the different kinds of goofy activities in the area.
Right. The other thing you have to remember is this. Eureka incorporates also Cutton, Myrtletown, and the surrounding, you know, Lombard Hills, of course, it's part of the city, but as well as Humboldt Hills and...
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka.
Good afternoon, KINS News and Information Times, 3:46. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Andy Mills. So, Andy, what's number one on your list right now that you're going to be trying to wrestle down here in the next little bit?
We are really working on the homeless issues, and Steve Watson, the guy just promoted to captain, is taking charge of that and really trying to get on top of making sure that our plan is executed and that people are taking care of business there, working with the city and the other department heads. Second thing is we're really trying to get on top of the property crimes. I get it that people are frustrated that you can't leave your, you know, stroller on your front porch without somebody stealing it. And you've seen it two in 3 days from now full of trash that you would never put your baby back in that seat.
I did see a guy. It was interesting. Going down 7th Street, which is one of the one-ways in Eureka, has a bike lane on it, and he was pushing a stroller.
Yeah.
That was the most bizarre thing. The sidewalk's wider.
Right.
And you're not against the traffic, or you're not right
in the
walking
traffic
with
lane,
the traffic.
Right.
But
right.
No, pushing the stroller. Okay. There's another Mills car going by.
Yeah, so those are the top priorities I want to get in on top of. We're also, I think, having some gang issues that we need to take a look at and spend a little bit more time documenting. There's some very specific documentation criteria for gang activity, and that's complex, and we've got to make sure that somebody in the police department is capable of doing that and making sure the documentation is squared away.
One guy focus, we'll take care of it.
Yeah, but getting people up to speed and healthy and have enough bodies out in the field is obviously the issue for us.
If the homeless get pushed out of Eureka, is that a win for Eureka?
Boy, that's a loaded question.
Yeah, I know. I know. Understand. You just heard me load the chamber, too. What reason I'm asking is nothing obviously happens in a vacuum.
Right.
So if you guys are doing a gang bang-up job, okay, they're all on the other side of Harrison. They're in Myrtletown. They're in Cotton. Not your jurisdiction.
No.
But the community still is dealing with the same issue, except now it's different. So is that a win?
No. It's not a win. And in fact, besides that, my phone would absolutely get blown up by Rex Bone and Virginia Bass and you.
Not necessarily in that order. Yeah.
if we're just displacing them, and I don't want to just displace people. Believe it or not, we truly care for those less fortunate individuals, and what can we do to maybe help this? But at the same time, we cannot tolerate some of the behaviors by some of the homeless people that are criminal in nature, and I won't tolerate that.
Are the shelters helping?
Shelters do help, but they need to be utilized more.
Oh, so they've got empty beds?
They do.
So to speak?
Yeah.
Huh. And the jail has empty beds.
Got lots
of
space.
Not that the two are related, necessarily. Yeah. Well, it'll be an interesting 2015. Hopefully, do you sense, do the Chiefs Association, are you guys seeing any new legislation that's going to possibly cause doing the job differently in the next little bit?
Well, I think that with all the events going on around the country, that we're going to see some difference in policing over the next year. And I think Missouri's already seen the legislation, and we are probably going to see some here.
Thanks for coming by.
You bet.
Join us tomorrow afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hug some of your love. See you tomorrow.